Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Please get in touch with your survivor stories or thank you letters. You can reach us at contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at Emily_Lang_UK. Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom, and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So the level of stigma that still surrounds men and showing emotion or vulnerability is staggering. Suppressing and smiling through it can lead to disaster. It happens every day, and it is so important to check up on your friends even when they are seemingly fine. This is a really, really important subject, and today I am joined by the incredible Josh Berry, and we are discussing all this and more. Okay, so it is 2014, September. Big month. Always bring it back to myself because I had just graduated drama school and I was like, wow, I'm going to be famous so soon. It's not even funny. Cut to. But it is 2014, September, and we are at the Reading Hexagon, which is a lovely venue if you've ever been there. It is, in fact, in the shape of a hexagon, hence the title. But here we are. It is September. We are in Reading. It is the Hexagon. And in this moment, Josh, why do you think you've got no friends?
Can I just ask? What? You are famous now. Just to.
I'm famous. I think I'm famous by association.
Okay. Well, but that's fair.
I think I realised that for a very long time I was desperately grappling for an identity, and I was like, maybe my identity can be someone famous's sister.
Well,
did well off it.
I mean, I started my career doing impressions, so that's exactly the same thing.
So
right?
Yeah, potato, potato.
It's just let me sort of. Trojan, or just sort of shoehorn my way into someone else's fame. Or,
lovely.
Yeah, it's fine.
Brilliant.
this moment mm-hmm. is okay. So my this isn't very. I know that some people come on here and talk about rehab, or Tom Lucy speaks about. You know, what did he speak about? His mic
really,
not working.
He got really vulnerable with us.
Oh God, it was such a nightmare. My fucking mic wouldn't fucking work. Oh. Jack Whitehall, have I mentioned that I occasionally do?
Sorry, Tom is a wonderful man.
He's a wonderful Tom
very
Lucy.
Worth seeing live.
Tom Lucy.
I should stress.
Love you
I
very, very much. Reading Hexagon.
So, Reading Hexagon, sorry. Yeah, so my... I'll set the scene. I was 18 years old. My brother is performing in a production of Oliver that's at the Hexagon. So he's there's like a 6.5 year age gap between me and my brother. So.
I want to go, is he older or younger? Because that makes a very big difference about who he's playing in Oliver.
He was Oliver.
Oh, lovely.
He was the big cheese. Yeah,
because he could be Bill Sykes.
Yeah,
if he was
he could have been, but no, but he was.
He was the big. Oh,
yeah, he was like 11 and a half. Is that right? Yes, around that 11, 12.
It's prime age playing Oliver.
Exactly, and he. And I remember like being like, you know, oh, drama, but which is weird given that I've become a comedian. Oh, what a load of bollocks drama, oh, acting. Oh, I'm a thespian. Get over yourself, mate.
I'm too good for that shit. I'm too odd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I remember going to watch him and, just as soon as he stepped on stage, just being really, it feels almost kind of embarrassing, but just crying because I was, aww. I felt so like proud of my brother.
Yeah.
And... even though I found that quite kind of cringe, like the idea that, but I was like, and that, it was like quite a big, it wasn't something I was expecting to do. Mm. And I remember just being very kind of, very moved by him, you know, on the stage.
I love that. I really love that. I think that's so sweet because it is like weird with moments like this that you sort of, you know, it's happening, you know what it's going to be, you know what Oliver is, we all know, yeah, what Oliver is, you're like, yeah, I'm prepping myself for Where Is Love, that big show-stopping number, but then it happens and it's really weird how this thing suddenly descends on top of you and you're like, oh my god, and then you can't control it.
Yeah.
Did you have that thing? I've had it twice. First time I was seeing Warhorse at the National when I was about 17. And, you know, when you're trying so hard not to cry that you, like, keep it here and then if you let it out, you go...
oh, yeah, that's never good.
And the people around you go, for fuck's sake, trying to watch a fucking puppet, you dick.
That's so British, that, isn't it, as a reaction. Like, oh, God, so emotional. Oh, Jesus. Because, you know, crying is such a vulnerable emotional thing, and it's kind of embarrassing. And then that's even more, you know, you can be like a sort of majestic crier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a sort of,
That's
something quite noble about that.
Bit of a smug crier.
But I'm not really. I don't think I'm a very good...
Yeah. Well, that is the best crying. That's the authentic crying. I think that crying when you're genuinely crying, you can't control it.
Mm.
And you know it's coming, you want to stop it, that's the best crying. Not for the person who's living it, but if you're witnessing it, God, I would have been watching you instead of Oliver. I would have been going, God damn, look at that raw emotion.
Really?
Look, I am so moved. Fuck that. What's happening?
Really? So you like to watch that?
I just think it's really beautiful.
No, I agree. I think maybe there's some sort of problem in me that I find that kind of thing maybe sort of slightly uncomfortable.
I think most normal people do.
Mm.
It's just that because I'm so weird.
No, I think that's good. No, but it's like, it's one of the things that unites us as human beings, right? And I'm sort of like, oh God, oh no, let's not think about that. Mm, disgusting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a good thing. I think it's a good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do find it kind of slightly uncomfortable.
Mm.
Maybe it's a very, there's British, I don't know.
I think it's Britishness. I think it's also to do with the fact that we as a society for the last however many thousands of years, have gone, men, no crying for you.
Yeah, right.
There's so much more of a stigma. And I think that's a really, and also at 18, which is the biggest time for not crying as a boy.
Yeah, do you think?
I think that that's just like, and I like the fact that it's really stuck out as a memory for you, because I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that it was an unexpected reaction. And so therefore it's kind of lodged itself as like a kind of core memory in our nervous system, which is really lovely.
Yeah, I think kind of a theme in my life is that I'm very good at kind of conveying emotion honestly with women, but I've always struggled with men. I've always struggled with the like kind of primary male relationships in my life to sort of be... You know, I don't know, it feels weird to, it's not weird, because I do, it feels, there's a bit in there, have you seen the boy, what is it, the boy, the horse, the fox and the mole?
Oh no, I can't look at it, because I know if I do, I'll never stop looking at it, and then I'll forever be you and Oliver just crying like that, and I'll have to get, we'll just have to put her away again. Oh, she's lost it again.
but there's a bit in that where he's, it's written something like, oh, sometimes it can be hard to tell people that you love them, but, you know, maybe just say that you're happy that everyone's here or something. And I just remember like reading that and be like, God, that feels so like my experience of emotion when it comes to like other men. even though I want to do that, it feels so like, yeah, so vulnerable and so uncomfortable. But of course it is important, like, to do that, I think.
Do you have bucket lists for the year?
No, I don't. Oh. No, I try to. This is so wanky, and I'm, you know, a real cynical person. So I don't know why I do this.
If there's one place to wank, it's right here, honestly. But I mean that emotionally. If there's one place to emotionally wank.
I just try and start the year with like a word that I want to sort of.
No, that's great. Like setting an intention of a sort.
Yeah, I guess so. So like consistency is the word.
Love, that is a beautiful word, consistency. Mm. Do you know what? Because when I saw The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe when I was 12 years old, about the White Witch, I remember it was one of the most intelligent things I've ever said in my goddamn life. I said the worst thing you can do as a parent is be inconsistent about the White Witch. And remember being like...
I love that that's your point of attack on the White Witch. You're like, oh, God.
So inconsistent.
All the fucked up chefs, but she just wasn't emotionally available.
She really wasn't.
To, for a kid.
Because she love bombed him, and then he asked for more Turkish delight, and she shut him down. Mm. And I was like, inconsistent. Yeah. That's that. Out of all of this, out of all the people being turned into ice or stone or whatever they were.
I think it's ice.
Is it
ice?
God, that's... Yeah. Oh, I was about to say when the sun comes out, but it doesn't, because Aslan's not there.
You've got some very good knowledge of land. I mean, I'm really sort of scraping the bottom of my reserves as far as...
Don't worry, I have bucket loads. I'm happy to share. But out of all that emotional trauma that's going to come out of the fact that they lived in Narnia for a good 25 years and then came back, you know, and had to be back in World War II, et cetera, et cetera, the most emotionally damaging thing about that was the inconsistency of the White Witch.
I think that's the worst thing. I mean,
that's the worst thing.
The worst thing a parent can be, you know, murder. Fine. Consistency.
Fine. At least be a consistent murder.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't like dabble in it. And
no,
come back.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Yeah,
don't,
yeah, yeah. Consistency is a very beautiful, is a very, very wonderful thing to do, because I think it takes a lot of work to commit to something. And I think it's very easy to be very excited by something initially and then to let it fall by the wayside when it doesn't produce that instant gratification or the fruits of what you want immediately. So I think consistency is a really good spreadable butter to put across your year.
Yeah, I think, because the thing, energy and interest will take you not very far. I think I felt like I learned last year, it's like, well, oh, I like this idea. And it's like, yeah, but you have to like commit to
you have to commit to the shitty parts of it, which is so annoying.
Yeah.
But
it's good. I mean, you know, it's like, that's kind of what makes it worth working for, I always feel like, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it is hard. Yeah. But it like, once you've done it, you're like, wow, this is really cool and I'm proud of this. Otherwise, you just, you wouldn't feel proud of it, I guess.
No, if it all came like super, super easy, you'd just be like, well, this is weird. I wouldn't trust it.
Right, right. If the mic cord didn't come out, you'd be like, this has come too easily. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to, you know, like, you've got to push up the mountain and you don't want to just be at the top all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes you've got to be in the middle.
Who is that? It sounds a bit more like Frank Spencer. I'm not doing Tom Lucy.
I don't know. Paul Chuckle keeps coming to my mind, but he sounds nothing like that.
No, but there is something a bit like, I don't know who it is. But...
So, since the moment 2014, because obviously age 18, and that is, my little brother is 18, and he cried. I looked over at him at Jamie's wedding and he was in floods. And it's one of the first times I've ever seen him cry. And he wasn't being ostentatious about it. He wasn't like turning around to show everyone how the tears coming down his face, which I 100% would have done. Look at how moved I am by this event. But it is now 2023, so it's near 10 years later. How do you think the attitudes surrounding men's vulnerability and emotional availability has changed? Do you think it's different to how it was back then?
Yeah, I do think that. I think we're in an interesting time at the moment for masculinity in general. And if I might just shoehorn in my talk, this is what I'm trying to talk about in the tour show that I'm doing at the moment. It's like, you know, there's it feels as though kind of around that time, around 2014, maybe slightly afterwards, it felt like we were sort of deconstructing masculinity a lot, which was good because men were doing a lot of bad things that, you know, weren't checked, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And so that was really important. But then, you know, like, the timeline in my head is that, you know, people like Robert Webb, like, wrote that book, like, How Not to Be a Boy. And then I remember seeing him on panels being like, they were like, Robert, what do you think of toxic masculinity? And he would be like, well, I don't actually think masculinity has anything good to do with it. So I'm not even going to talk about toxic masculinity because I think masculinity is bad, necessarily.
Holy hell.
And I think that's, you know, that's led to this kind of, like nuking of masculinity, which then, and in that vacuum, it allows people like Andrew Tate and, you know, these dodgier role models to kind of come in. And that's concerning because, like, I think there are good things about masculinity and I think we need to reconstruct it rather than just be like, there's nothing good to do with this.
Well, this is exactly it. And I often find that this is the case with, like, a really strong, like, pendulum swing, that it goes, that it goes, there is nothing good to do with masculinity. And that's obviously bollocks because we would never, if anyone went, there is nothing good to do with femininity, there would be, there'd be a fucking protest.
And rightly.
And rightly. You're right. And I think it is this, when there is like so much space for people to just wander into that echoey chamber of nothingness, it is when people like that arrive.
Yeah. And I guess kind of what I find frustrating about a lot of the discourse about Andrew Tate is that Andrew Tate is a dreadful man spreading horrible ideas to vulnerable young men.
Yeah.
But unless we deal with the problem of disenfranchised, vulnerable young men who are isolated and isolating themselves, like, how are we going to stop future Andrew Tates from existing, right? Like, it seems like such a kind of unacknowledged point in that conversation.
Oh my God, standing ovation for Tom Berry is my brother-in-law, sorry.
It's me and Tom Lucy together.
Just... my perfect combination.
What's the deal when you're crying at your brother's Oliver show? You know, what's that all about?
You didn't cry at the one. Josh Berry, standing ovation for Josh Berry on that statement. That is fucking fabulous. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. We could end there. It'd be Britain's best episode we've done.
But I don't know. I do feel like quite... I think I've also, like, I've always been quite an emotional man who maybe... I wouldn't say I necessarily, like, fit into a lot of the kind of stereotypical masculine traits. But I'm not a man either. Like, I feel very much like...
Yeah,
And I think, like, I don't know. I just think it's important that we can kind of... have an ongoing conversation about what it is to be a man and kind of, and it's really important just not to shame people in that process because
100%.
I feel like the appeal of someone like Andrew Tate is that he's basically like the world is saying to young men, you know, in the face of like sexual rejection and all that kind of stuff, like the world is saying you need to change because they do, right? Like it's important. And that's everyone's path on the route to becoming a good person involves that. Yeah. Andrew Tate is basically putting an arm around them and saying, hey man, you don't need to change. It's the world that's fucked up. You're fine.
I
think that's the issue.
I think it's difficult for young men who are sort of coming up now who, this sort of immediate blame without them having done anything yet. And I think it's quite... it's like young teenage boys who are just sort of just discovering stuff to be told to be told already that they're wrong without any knowledge of what is wrong or what, you know, any actions they may have done. And so, to have someone going, to have this arm of support, like you said, an arm around them is such a good way of putting it, I think is really comforting. And it's very easy to then just fold into that and be like, oh God, there's someone who understands me, even though of course they don't.
Yeah. But I think, you know, there are ways of us creating male role models that do that, that aren't Andrew Tate, that kind of encourage and support young men to kind of develop.
Can you think of any good
habits?
Ones? Who? Gabon Matter? Yeah.
Sorry, that's the point here. It's me. I'm the person to do that. No, but... yeah, that's why I'm here.
You?
No, but like... I think his name is James... Melville. I hope I'm not getting that wrong. That, but a columnist in the Times wrote this whole thing about that, and he was like, "There needs to be a sort of." He's like, "I'd much rather be a sort of rye beta male than a sort of alpha boar." And he was like, "There needs to be some sort of like beta male, like."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like someone 100%. Who's like a role model for young men. So yeah, I don't know exactly who or what that is necessarily, but I think. Yeah. I don't know. I think athletes are often quite a good reference point.
That's a good, 100%.
And I guess that's maybe a more alpha thing. But like Andy Murray, I think I mean, I love Andy Murray so much, and I just can't express enough how much I think he's great. Yeah. And he's great at like crying in public and showing his emotion, and you know, and he's just very kind of authentically himself. And I mean, I wouldn't say he's a beta male,
but
I think there are.
Well, he beats role people. Models.
Exactly.
Oh, she's so fucking clever. when this happened at the theatre all those years ago, did you feel like people were looking at you? Did you feel in some way like exposed and really vulnerable? Like,
no, I actually felt completely alone.
Isn't that so?
Even though people were around me, I just sort of felt like it was a really kind of private experience. Kind of almost between me and my brother, I guess. But it's weird because I think when you say to someone how much you love them or how proud you are of them, like they don't necessarily, I don't know, because it's such a, like an emotive thing.
I find it very difficult to believe when someone says that to me.
Yeah, well, but I think maybe there is a bit of that in all of us, right? So when someone says that, you're sort of a bit like, oh, the and I guess as a comedian, like I'm constantly used to like a very obvious feedback loop in terms of whether I'm doing my job properly, which is like laughter, 100%. Right?
Yeah.
Whereas when you're saying something emotive, it's very different. Like you don't actually see how that's registering with someone.
Yeah.
Because it kind of will stick with them for longer, right? Then jokes are very like now, they're very like in the moment.
Yeah,
something emotive like that, it can kind of, you know, you'll remember that for a long time.
Yeah.
But I find it a kind of...
But again, it's not that instant gratification thing of seeing them, like, dissolve and, like, have this, like, glow of light surround them as they... You don't see it happen, but you don't know how much it's affected a person in such a positive way.
Yeah, of course.
Something like that.
And maybe that's also, like, I don't know, maybe from the perspective of the giver, that's my own shit in terms of, like, I need to be reassured that when I tell other people I love them, they don't think it's weird or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just a very different type of expression of something.
Is he still playing Oliver?
He's still acting. Yeah, he's going up to the Fringe actually this year, which is cool.
That's my boy.
Yeah. With the extra footlights, I think.
Oh, shit, boy.
And he's doing loads of like plays and stuff. So hopefully, you know, he breaks it into the big time.
Do you find it? Maybe easy isn't the word, but do you feel like you have the space to be emotional, open, and open with friends, family, you know, near strangers?
Yeah, I do. I think I've always been pretty self-aware. And I'm pretty good at navigating my own emotions, I would say. And I think also crucially, my girlfriend would agree with that, which is good because I think. She's a more competent judge of that probably than I am because she sees it.
Have you heard of Matthew Hussey?
Yes, I have.
He's great. That was all I had to say about that. But he's a really good relationship man.
Oh, is he? Oh, yes, I've seen his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a girlfriend, unfortunately. She's a hunter, right?
She's a hunter?
Yeah, me.
Maybe you could...
Hunt.
hunt her down. No. Don't put that in.
Do you find it easy to communicate with your girlfriend too?
For sure. I think I definitely do. I have my best friend. We're very good at kind of talking about stuff, and he's very supportive. I think it's, I sort of second guess myself quite a lot at the time find often that, like, I'm very good at kind of post event justification. So like, you know, obviously something will happen and then I'll be like, oh well, you know, I'll convince myself into thinking something that I don't actually think or feel. And the friends around me are good at kind of calling me out on that, and I think that is the most important thing. Is, you know, I've definitely had periods in my life where I've been a bit more isolated for sure, and that's really bad for me. Like, I that it's bad for anyone, I think. Humans are social, even if you're introverted. Humans are social beings, right? And I think...
like penguins.
Yeah. And dolphins?
100%.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think, I feel in a better place with that. I feel much more sort of supported than I used to, because I'm very lucky to have a very good sort of network of friends who are...
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really kind to me and kind of understand me.
Yeah. Which I think is so, so important. I think for a lot of us, we kind of shove ourselves into a category or mould ourselves to the people that we are surrounded by, even if it's not best serving us. And we kind of just convince ourselves that this is really healthy and the best thing for us when actually it's not. And it does take, I think, a fair amount of time to understand that you're not going to fit into every single dolphin pod as happily as a dolphin.
But I think that's true of, like... Yeah. I don't know, like, if I look at my, you know, my really good friends who I've known for years, or like people I've known from university or people I've known from when I was a kid and stuff, there is that sort of, like, tacit understanding that, you know, they're like, okay, well, we just care about you for you and however you want to present or whatever you're going through or whatever, that's great and that's fine. And you kind of just feel that from a friend.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
And I feel like maybe... you know, your early 20s can sometimes be about maybe working out who is and who isn't there.
Utter fucking minefield. That was my late 20s.
Really?
Literally, like, last year. It was, like, literally last year when I was a floundering little fucking clown.
But it's difficult, I think, because, you know, yeah, I guess you've got to be a really good judge of character. And it's very easy to be kind of, you know, to think that a certain person's kind of right for you who isn't or whatever.
Yeah. Especially if you sort of, like, I don't know, growing up in an all-girls boarding school, I definitely, like, just had zero sense of self, zero sense of self, because you had to jam yourself into a group of people, and if you didn't do that smoothly and nicely, then you would be fucking tortured. So I left there being like, how do I... anyone that I came across, I was like, literally like a sort of amorphous blob went, and now I'm this thing. I mean, within reason, if I came across a Nazi, I wouldn't do that. But like,
sure.
like, but most sort of generally okay functioning humans, I would just, like, I had zero sense of self.
Yeah. It's interesting, that one, because I think if you repress your sense of self for long enough, it can be hard to... genuinely, like, rediscover that, all right? Yeah. Or rediscover your emotions.
Yeah, 100%. Or realise that your needs and values actually exist and they matter and they're valid.
And you can't, I don't know, I don't think you can cheat that. I think I've definitely spent periods of my life sort of feeling like I could cheat feeling because I'm like, oh, I'd rather just not cause a fuss or
keep
harmony or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, you are going to have emotional reactions to things. But it's difficult. That's really difficult to, like, be like, I'm going to be irrational sometimes.
Oh, it's so bad. I hate it. I still hate it.
Yeah.
And I'm still fucking up in that realm.
Yeah.
I'm still going, even when someone really upsets me, I'm still going, I'm sorry to you.
Even though. No, I'm the...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you were, you know, speaking to any young men who are struggling to be emotionally vulnerable, you know, are ashamed of voicing their needs or their feelings, any of it, is there anything that you would, any advice that you would give to them or anything that you would say to them and to encourage them to be able to do that?
Yeah, I think probably two things. I think the first thing is it is important just to you know, a lot of things that feel unnatural when you haven't done them very much. Mm-hmm. And flying hours matter. I mean, to use like a stand-up metaphor, like when you first start doing stand-up, you're incredibly uncomfortable because it's unnatural as hell, right?
Yeah, it's
honest. And then years go by and, you know, you start to become a little bit more relaxed. And then eventually, hopefully, you get to a stage where you're just yourself stage, or the version of yourself you want to present. And so I think the more you do it, the better you'll become at it, the better you'll become at navigating your emotions. I think a lot of young men, and I definitely do this as well, like, you know, it's easy to run, isn't it? Like, it's easy to not confront the problems you have. 100%. And, you know, you've got to do it sooner or later. I think that would be the kind of the advice that I get. You know, it's like you can choose to kind of confront it now and live a freer life.
Ooh, that's good.
Or, you know, you can let it eat you for a while and use alcohol and drugs or whatever. Oh, yeah. But, you know, like I'm saying that without, I definitely don't get it right. I mean, you know, I think I probably drink a bit too much and can see myself kind of avoiding problems that I have. I think we all do it. And I think the second point is you got to surround yourself with people that really know you and really care about you, because they'll call out those behaviors and call out, you know, like, you know, probably most people's mums are pretty, know you probably better than you know you, right? And you would hope that someone like that could kind of be the kind of route into emotional articulation. But those two points I'd say are pretty.
Yeah. Okay. There was something you said there that was really, really great, and I'm just trying to remember what it is.
Was it about drugs and alcohol?
That's it. I think the what is it, flying hours, was that the expression? Such a great way of doing it, explaining it, because the only way that we can really expand our emotional boundaries or expand or be able to, because the neural elasticity of our brains, be able to change that, be able to rewire our brains, is by doing things that are outside of our comfort zone and actually feel quite wrong. And I've said it on this podcast before, for me, my biggest struggle is confrontation. I cannot.
You and me both.
Yeah. Oh. Match me in heaven. There's like, it's, I can't, I find it so difficult. And even though I know that if I did confront someone on their about their behavior, it would be done with a lot of love and care, I still avoid it, and I still and then when they confront me about my shit, as like a normal person would, I go like, yep, I feel it, but then feel this deep fucking anger that I'm like, fucking tell you when you did that thing that really hurt me. And it is only by pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and by going, by saying things. And because I am always assume that if I say to someone, hey, that thing that happened, that really upset me. I assume that people will go, well, fuck you then. I don't need you in my fucking life, you fucking dick. And also you've done this, this, and this, and this, and this. And I'll get all the shit that I've done listed in front of me, and then I'll implode. I assume that's going to be the reaction. And 99% of the time, if you are communicating with a good and measured person, that will not be the reaction. And it is only since being able to go to trusted friends, hey, this thing you did, and have the thing come back of an apology and, you know, someone go, oh, I'll try and do different. I'll try and be different in future. Or, you know, I'll try not to do that. And you're like, oh, I feel so much better. Yeah. And also there's like, just the elastic band has been pulled. Yeah. Might get snapped back, but it's just that little bit more each time.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's just getting a little bit more stretchy.
Yeah.
I'm so aware I have such fake tanned hands. Because they're like a wildly different colour to my face. Sorry.
Oh, well, I've only just noticed now.
I'm really sorry that I just brought it up.
God, they really are very fake tan, guys. No, you said that.
My little brother at the rehearsal dinner came up and went, huh, nice gloves, Em, and I cried. I cried. That's how emotional I was. Sorry, we're talking about something really great.
No, but that's really interesting. I think it's true. I think, yeah, most people, I don't know, well, probably most of your friends, right? They probably mostly have good intentions.
Yeah.
Right? At this stage.
And like if they don't, then you don't fucking need them.
Well, yeah. But I think, I don't know, I think most things that upset us, like, from people we care about, it hopefully is with enough. Like, if you can understand it, then I feel like often you can kind of forgive it, right? And I feel like if I look at times when friends have upset me, it's probably mostly been like, yeah, I can get it, and so it's like, cool. I can forgive that, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And an apology really does go a long way. It really. I think an apology can be a really, really beautiful thing when it's done with a lot of sincerity. And because we all fuck up all the time. And I have for so long assumed that I was the only one fucking up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But that's a very normal pattern for someone who doesn't like conflict.
Crazy.
No. That's
no, for someone who doesn't like conflict, you immediately. Yeah. And I think I came to discover that it's this codependent thing as well of going, if I accept all the responsibility, if I carry it, then I can control it. I can control
how this
unfolds rather than giving it to someone else and then not being able to control their reaction and not making sure it's all okay. Making sure everything is all okay is just like how I've lived for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
No, but it is, and that really kind of thing can eat away at you, for sure.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about Tom Lucy,
as he requested before the podcast.
So annoying. He's waiting outside the door.
Yeah, he is.
Have you done the mic bit yet?
There he is, he's outside.
Have you done the mic bit? I was hoping you might do that part.
But we talked a lot about different parts of ourselves, but we've kind of also sort of covered it, because I think the things that you've said are actually really, really wonderful characteristics in a person. But what are the things about you that you genuinely cherish and really, really love about yourself? I know this is such a difficult question. Everyone fucking hates it.
Yeah. What, like a friendship sense, you mean?
Like, just in a way that... I think a lot of the time we have these parts of ourselves that have always been in there, and they're really great and wonderful things, but we don't acknowledge them because they've always been a part of us. And then it's actually kind of wonderful when you take a step back and go, oh, I'm a really kind person. Or I'm really hardworking. And you sort of don't acknowledge it, and no one else acknowledges it, because it's just always been there. That's just who you are. And I think it's really lovely to kind of just pinpoint those things about yourself and go, yeah, sometimes I may really fuck up, but I think I'm really brave, or something like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely not brave.
It's all right. A few of us can be.
Yeah, exactly. That's not my burden. That's your burden.
Are you a Hufflepuff?
I fucking hope not. I really hope not. I sometimes
Hufflepuff
do,
are the all-rounders.
No. Hufflepuff's the shithouse. Everyone knows that. You're not a Hufflepuff, surely.
No, I'm a diehard Gryffindor.
Yeah. Nice.
You can read that. I'm fucking mile off.
I did a poll on my Instagram story, because I feel like it's like, it's not really about what you think you are, right? It's what the world says you are.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And actually, at the wedding, I said I'm because on my thing it said failsafe Gryffindor, obviously. And and I went, oh, I'm failsafe Gryffindor. And the person next to me went, that's such a Slytherin thing to say. And I literally, I know.
No.
And I nearly cried.
No. Do you know some Slytherin? I mean, we all know.
I know Jamie's my brother, Jamie. He's a Slytherin.
Do you think?
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with being a Slytherin. They are just ambitious. Ambitious.
Okay. Yeah.
There is nothing. They are not all racist.
But all the racists are Slytherin, right? Like,
that's the annoying thing.
Not all Slytherins are racist, but all racists are Slytherin. Maybe a bit in Ravenclaw as well, you know.
100%.
A little bit.
Not a single Hufflepuff, though. You ain't getting no racist in Hufflepuff.
Do you not think they'd say, like, maybe slightly racist stuff, but it would be, like, well-meaning? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when sometimes...
I think they would say it without knowing what it meant.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah.
But
you know, like, with, like... certain like aspects of woke thought, someone might make a kind of progressive left-leaning point, but they'll do it in a way that uses language that isn't sort of perceived to be
that's
woke.
A very Hufflepuff thing to do.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
it's like, so they're not racist, because they mean really well, but they haven't expressed it in a way that's sort of, you know, good for the time.
All the codependents are in Hufflepuff, I think. 1,000%.
Do you want to know what my followers think you are? Hogwarts Housewives. No, can we do this?
Oh my god.
Because this is really fun.
Do you follow... Wait, about me or about...
Yeah.
People be like, who the fuck is that? And you have to go...
No. It's just your vibe. It's just like, okay, you ready?
Oh, no, because I'm going to get fucking Slytherin.
No, you were okay. All right. Right, pick a nice pose that you want to do that is going to... Wait, sorry, I need to just do a, like fine. A once...
Where you're sitting, fine.
God, my the veins in my head look so prominent.
I've got a vein directly down the middle.
That's good.
Apparently it means you're
so many.
Apparently it means you're a Gryffindor.
Once more, I'm here to ask you... Dot dot dot. This is one of my favourite games to play.
This is amazing. I'm so excited.
I did this in the pub last week. It was absolutely great. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the photo? Sorry, let me turn around. Yeah, okay. Here we go. Nice. Okay.
This shirt is so fucking Hufflepuff.
Well, I didn't want to say, but okay, let's write the poll. Which Hogwarts house?
I can guarantee.
Is this lady in?
This lady, I've just met her.
Why didn't want it? Is that you can well, girl? It's a minefield, but it's a
young woman.
This, yeah, it's a, what house would a supple young woman be in? I'm going to say Ravenclaw.
I think Slytherin.
That's up on the story. So at the end of the episode, we can ask people.
Okay.
But wait, sorry, you asked me a question. I feel
like... Are we going to say the wonderful things about yourself that you really like? And I said maybe you were a Hufflepuff, and you said, Christ, I hope not. Yeah, and then we went on a tangent for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I really have not a Hufflepuff. Yeah. I think... well, I could say what other people... my girlfriend would say that she thinks that my sensitivity is my greatest strength and weakness as well.
I
would say it's my weakness. I think she thinks it's a strength, which is nice. I think probably that. I'd say I have a good heart.
I can read that. It's glowing. It's glowing like the Tin Man when he gets it, the heart.
I'm quite thoughtful as well, I think. I think a lot about the people that I... love. Probably that.
Oh, I agree. Those are such lovely ones. Well done.
Well, who knows if it's true or not, but I think
standing ovation one more time.
Have I been... That makes me feel like I'm being a pick-me boy. You know, one of those, like...
Or just, like, you putting know, like, all the buzzwords
I
in
guess,
there.
I guess my best friend is my mum. One of those, you're like... Oh,
if anyone says that, then I want to fucking punch him.
That must be quite a big Hinge prompt, no?
I'm making a series at the moment, which I'm very excited to post. Which is, I'm screenshotting all the brilliant Hinge responses I get.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to put them in a collage and sell it.
You should do that. You could make art out of that. That's really 100%. Cool.
That's what I'm doing.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
I love that. Cool. I think that is cool. Very cool.
That is a very cool
thing. It's a very cool thing to do. No, but I don't know. It's cool.
I think it is very cool. Yeah. Here, Etsy.
Should we see where you are on the Hogwarts?
Jesus, I know it's gonna be. I already know it's Hufflepuff. The thing is, if I'm tagging it, they're gonna go to my thing and go failsafe Gryffindor, and they'll be like, "Oh, she's so delusional."
Oh!
Oh no! No, what is it? No,
you're not gonna like
it. No, it's Slytherin, isn't it?
No, it's Hufflepuff.
I told you. It's
Hufflepuff
shirt.
Just, and then Ravenclaw. Second, and then Gryffindor. So Hufflepuff's got 20 votes, Ravenclaw 19, Gryffindor 9, and Slytherin 3.
Wait, can I vote?
Yeah, of course you can.
Those fucking three people, man.
It's welcome to all. All away.
You can't skew the votes.
Oh, you're so close, though. Like, Hufflepuff literally just by one. So it could change.
Do you know
change.
What? But that's going on. But I knew it. I knew it from the second.
Yeah, well, it might change by the end of the episode. I just thought it would be good to...
I really like this game. This
is it is fun. It's one of my favourites.
So we've got a portion of the podcast that we like to call Thank You Letters. And in this moment, we like to ask you to express a little bit of gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three, or two, or whatever you want, but something for which you are grateful.
Mm. Yeah, without... So I keep yammering on about her, but I am very grateful for my girlfriend. Mom. She's very understanding and very good at sort of... What I feel particularly grateful for in her is that she's like... She loves me very proactively.
Oh, that's so fucking lovely. That makes me want to cry. Jesus.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's like a... She'll have gone away and thought about stuff that we've spoken about and then kind of... It's kind of like two stages on after we've had conversations, which is very special. It makes me feel very...
Did you guys meet at Oxford University?
We didn't. We met through friends at...
Oxford University.
Yeah. Yeah, no. just drop it in again. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. No, yeah, we met through a friend that I played tennis with. Really, really class-based stuff.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Also, there are a few other people I'd like to be grateful for.
Yeah, who would you? Okay. So you've got your girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm grateful to my mum, mm-hmm. who is, yeah, deeply, deeply caring and supportive. My brother is great. My best friend Ross is great.
Mm-hmm.
I've got lots of really, really special friends. My dad is great. I admire a lot of qualities in my dad.
Love this.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell. Oh, that's really, it's made my day, that has. And you are on tour at the moment, or
big
you're
time.
Going on tour?
Big time. Big
time, baby.
Yeah, I've just done, you know what that I find insane? It's selling so well in the South and London, and for some reason, further north, it just isn't selling
North London?
Well. Yeah, right. Why not?
That's where I am.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. I'll come.
Please do. Yeah, come to the north, because all the southern ones are. You know.
And we're talking about London, not north.
No,
England.
We're talking about the north, like Sheffield, Manchester, yeah, Leeds. Struggling. Leicester, we had to pull. There are only 5 tickets sold.
No, that's terrible. But you know what? I've been to Leicester and. Take
it's
it
fine.
Or leave it.
Fuck Leicester. You know what? I'm going to say it on the. Fuck Leicester.
I'm willing to go on the record.
I will go on the record. I will never play Leicester again. Fuck Leicester.
Fuck
honestly, I'll just tour Leicester. London. That's maybe what I'll do for my next tour. Just do a tour throughout.
So I'm going to I'm going to put all of that below. And my producer Felipe, who is also the person who takes care of my entire podcasting life, has we're really sorry, Tom Lucy, that we took.
Oh yeah, sorry. There are two apologies I'd like to make. Firstly, to Tom Lucy, who is an excellent comedian.
We love him so much.
A lovely man. He has got heart of gold, Tom Lucy.
I love him too much.
Mm, he's great. And also, Felipe, I would like to apologise about the outfit because I took the piss out of your outfit earlier.
And then when I did it,
like your little face, you looked a little bit hurt, and I didn't want to do that. It made me feel a bit sad inside for you. I didn't want it, so I take it back. I actually really like the shirt and the shorts. I'm not sure about the boots, but respectfully.
I wasn't sure.
One of my best ever outfits came from a Lost Property box. I sort of look like I'm dressed from a Lost Property box today.
But that's North London chic, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've worn these baggy jeans. Streets. No, I mean, that's North London.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm going to East London after this. I've got an outfit for everything.
Yeah. Just slightly baggier jeans as you go further
east. Exactly. slightly more pretending I didn't go to private school the further east I go.
It's an ongoing battle for all of us. It's an epidemic.
Well, 7% of us.
Please send money to I'm sorry, I'm posh.
I look like one of the bad guys, but I'm actually one of the good ones.
I'm actually really one of the good ones, and you assume I'm bad. Oh, it's really hard.
Yeah, I just hate myself.
Oh, God. Don't worry. We'll get each other through this. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me. That was really, that was quite emotional at points.
Oh.
That was nice.
Yeah.
It was good.
I cried.
Yeah.
I mean, I can cry on cue, but
cry
I
on
actually...
Demand.
So you don't know what I'm doing. But...
Should we finish? What your stats are. Let's have a look.
I'm putting it in a Hufflepuff because of the shirt I'm wearing right now. It's too friendly.
Oh, sorry to say. You're like... You can't claw it back now.
No.
You're like 116 votes for Hufflepuff, 64 for Gryffindor, 84 for Ravenclaw, and 29 for Slytherin.
God, your followers are crazy.
Yeah, they're mental
they,
people.
Mental. Felipe's about to vote.
I voted.
Did you vote for Gryffindor? You cunt.
Slytherin.
You twat. Okay, so we're finishing on Hufflepuff. That's fine. Do you know what?
No.
I've got the heart of a Gryffindor, but the soul of a Hufflepuff. Actually, I've got the shirt. I've got the attire of a Hufflepuff. The chiseled jaw of a Ravenclaw, and the dexterity of a Slytherin.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really good.
They're famously dexterous.
I can see. I can imagine that.
Yeah. Good at piano. Right. Okay. Let's stop it. Thank you so much.
Oh, that was so fun.
If you or anyone you know is struggling or needs help with the issues discussed on Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends, please visit the podcast bio where you will find contact numbers with people readily available to give support. Please get in touch with your stories at either contact@whydoyouthink.com or on Instagram at emily_lang_UK. To have your story or your thank you letter read on the podcast, please put survivor story or thank you letter either at the top or in the subject line. We really want to hear from you. We don't care if it's a catastrophe story or a small win from your week, your favorite place, person, or thing. We are here for all of it. Don't forget to rate and subscribe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.